Welcome to the Beyond Earth Show with Ray Trujillo and Sugandhi Iyer. I'm Sugandhi Iyer, and I'm here to introduce Ray Trujillo to you. Beyond Earth Show deals with all matters beyond Earth. Everything, is there life on Mars? Is there life outside the spirit of Earth? What is going on? UFO sightings? Anything, and you're welcome to call in and ask us questions, share your experiences at any time. Ray, are you here?
Hello, yes, thank you.
Thank you for being on the show. And Ray is your host here. She's the one who's going to guide us all, and is going to give us wonderful information about life beyond Earth. Ray, what made you think of starting this show? I know I gave you an idea about it, but what really made you want to do it?
Well, thank you for the beautiful idea, as it's a wonderful inception of so much that is broad and vast, and the enigma of perhaps the genesis of life itself. And so therefore, it is very natural and organic, and it's, we could even refer to it as an inherent intrigue into the genesis of ourselves and the planets and so forth and beyond. And so it is one of those naturally ingrained aspects of the human mind and the human intrigue and the curiosity into what is beyond the 3D, what is beyond in the planetary realm, in the outer planetary realm and so forth. And it's such a beautiful topic, as it consists of amazing various constructs of thought and theories and so forth. And at this point in our lives, in which there's a cycle that occurs through civilizations historically from the beginning of time, there's always been a fond and beautiful fascination into that intrigue and into the majesty of this encompassment of cosmic order, the divine order. Any belief system is all welcome here, or non-belief system. And I like to have a full respect of all of those hypotheses and so forth. And I just find it extremely illuminating and fascinating, and just the vastness of it all is what I find to be extremely compelling, and I'm sure that many others out there can agree.
Ray, my question is, people who think that there is life beyond Earth, that there could be so-called aliens, there could be so-called UFOs, are they dreaming? Is it that it's a fantasy? And you know how people have reported being kidnapped, taken aboard spaceships? It's not just one person or two people. It's more than that. So are these people fantasizing? Is there something to do with delusion, illusion? Or do you think there could be a grain of possibility, a little tiny grain of sand, a little tiny grain of possibility that some of these stories at least are true? What do you think?
Well, you bring up an excellent question, because based on so many observations and experiences that many have had that are extremely concurrent with one another, people who have no coordinated efforts to align themselves into an agreement. And when you mention the notion of, is it in a dream state, and or is it in an in-between dream state, or merely a fragment of thought, and that can be described as a hypnopompic hallucination, right? So in that part of the mind in which you're in between the waking reality and the sleeping reality, in which the mind is supposedly going into a rest preparation for sleep. Well, when that hypnopompic hallucination that some may ascribe this to be, one cannot prove that it is such a hypnopompic hallucination, because unless they're under a neurological study in that precise moment in which they're experiencing such an extraordinary, let's say, illuminating experience or frightening experience, it could be various experience responses. Yet when the concrete realm of what is tangible before you, what you can touch, feel, smell, sense, are there any indicators that when you're experiencing this otherworldly, let's say, and it's beyond the illusion, and you're not sure or certain if you're having a hypnopompic hallucination, or is it really truly in between the worlds, right? The veiled and the unveiled. And no one can truly tell anyone that, no, you did not experience such a, let's say, traveling out of body or an alien visiting. And so I would say that I can understand how one could question if they had not experienced it themselves, or even a fragment of that, or if they've maybe been an eyewitness to several countless individuals, and they've done a maybe psychological study, a neurological study, and in which a battery of assessments have been implemented into exploring what is going on in the mind and the vagus nerve and everything in the hippocampus, all of the cerebral connections that literally would tell the body that you are truly seeing this reality. And so one very important mention I shall bring up is that many people who have truly experienced these out-of-body and visitation realms from the outer world, the extraterrestrial kingdom, celestial beings of light, there has been much of a determination to either share the story with a trusted person or to explore, yet it is only natural to doubt oneself at times. And so in that, I would say, predisposition to self-doubt initially, where you say, was that real? And sometimes even when people are having such an experience, they may even ask for, can I smell this? Because if I can smell this in a dream or in a hallucinatory experience, typically a smell may not predominantly exist in the senses of the sense and the olfactory bulbs that are connected to let the mind know that we are in fact smelling roses, the aroma of birchwood, the aroma of cedarwood, or we can smell everything. We can smell the lake. We can smell the algae. We can smell, you know, if there are fellow beautiful species around. There's a scent awareness that is in all of us. And of course, animals have the most distinctive sense on planet Earth, of course. Yet in the human realm, scent is a huge component to the proof to oneself that I smelled it clear as day. I smelled the scent of sandalwood, for instance, of beautiful rose. And so I would say that that is one very defining piece, because many people are susceptible to bias, right? And then confirmation bias. And so what is objective, what is subjective to the senses and the self? And so we can see it in our imagination, and our consciousness is extremely fulfilling. And then sometimes we can have a psychosomatic at times effect system in our awareness as well, in which we can literally think of a unicorn and suddenly we may think we see a unicorn, correct? Yet when there is a more of a tangible proof that, oh, the unicorn was wearing a garland of roses, and I could sense those roses, I could sense those roses upon the unicorn's neck. And so therefore, did I really experience a visitation from a unicorn? And that's just a very small, tiny example, just to kind of go back to the root of these elements.
So to the people out there who are listening and who have had some, I would say, what do you call it, experience, you could always ask yourself about various aspects and angles of the experience and use logic to discover if what you saw, felt, or thought that you imagined was real by asking yourself if you had a multi-sensory experience where it's not just a feeling, but you actually smelled, touched, and had a whole, and sometimes you can call it holistic experience, which would be more confirming of anything that you've gone through and experienced. And we are here to tell you that, well, it could be an illusion that we're alone on Earth. Maybe there's just some kind of illusion or shield around Earth or its immediate planets, that which forms our galaxy, some kind of a shield that stops people on Earth from experiencing life beyond Earth in a full way. And it could be that few pieces of information gets through the shield and reaches a few people on Earth. Ray, what do you think? Do you think that this thought that we're alone and we just have a few planets around us, and of course, you know, people know of galaxies far away, but it could it be that it's an illusion created like a shield where we think we're alone, but we're not, but that just some people are able to experience life beyond Earth and visitations and UFOs, where there is a breach in the shield and they're able to see it because maybe they're more attuned. What do you think, Ray?
Well, I have a few things to respond with. And the first thing is, we bring up the shield, and the Earth has a magnetic shield, a magnetoshield. And we are actually at this present moment experiencing even further of the grand solar minimum, in which the Earth shield is diminishing more so. So there is going to be even more of the occurrences of perhaps the attunement for those that are more, let's say, and this is also in response to your question, I'm saying a few things in response to your question there. The hypersensitivity within some people or many people, and some people that it is somewhat dormant until a certain time frame in their life, and I'm going to expand on that in just a moment. Yet, when you mentioned the shield, and is there a shield that is in a way that protects us from any of the awareness that perhaps life exists beyond this earthly plane, in the spectrum of our planet Earth, Mother Gaia, correct? And so, as the shield exists, yes, but it is in a diminishing state, in which every 12,000 years, there's a cycle of a diminishing and a grand solar minimum. And we could talk about that at length in another time. Yet let's bookmark that for now and apply that with the awareness and the memory. And it is said from various ancient civilization scholars, even ancient Egyptologists and so forth, that in history, in the ancient times, in the ancient civilizations, Atlantis, Lemurian, and think of that construct in which many people who are alive today had a previous incarnation during that specific time in which they're reliving this moment. And there has been much of a debate or hypothesized that the memory banks of that specific time in which we may or may not have existed, that it has been removed from the memory bank as basically to enter into this life with no preconceived notion of that, because there's angelic cosmic guardian angels that are literally here assigned to such individuals or the earth itself, let's say. And we could go into Akashic Records, which details all of those accounts, and we can talk about that as well. Yet, in response to your question, though, this is the expansion of that, is that that is why some people may not have that instantaneous, let's say, awareness in the forebrain, because the forebrain is separated from the rest of the body. And we could discuss that planetologists, you know, astronauts and so forth, in which there's this seeking of awareness. And perhaps those people lived in the previous incarnations of ancient Atlantis and ancient Lemuria, in which now they're here as scientists, or they're here with interest, or they're here with intrigue. They could be a baker, they could be a farmer, they could be an engineer, they could be, you know, a house dad, a house mom, they could be anything. Yet there could be some sort of emphasis on the intrigue, in which they would be classified as perhaps a starseed, or there's other terms in which people may assimilate to. Yet they're in the attunement in which you asked about, there are those that are more hypersensitive in some ways or another, or there's a trigger moment in which something just profound occurs that transcends the logic of the natural order of the senses, in which we have our ordinary humanity. And in that, you know, the healthy skepticism has a special place within all of us, correct? And when we have a firm adherence to the known, there's a safety in that as well. Yet, when we are presented with such notions that are otherworldly, and just as you were saying, if it wants to be classified as holistic or in the beautiful supernatural, the super celestial, and the masterminds of all that are in many essences created to invoke within all of us and transcend the primitive notion in which we are all wired. And I would say to conjugate and compute and to assign a thought to a theory, and therefore from that theory, we make these hypotheses in ourselves. Every day, that one, because of our consciousness and our grand inception of the awareness in which we implement, in which we integrate, in which creates forward thinking, upward thinking, and higher advanced the evolution of our mind thinking. And you align that with the higher consciousness, and you align that with the beautiful celestial, the cosmic order. So many notions that cannot be denied that can very well exist, because if we look back historically, and I speak of the ancient Egyptians very much and ancient Atlantis and Lemuria, because there's so much to learn from the archaeological findings and so forth and cosmology, and you can all apply that there's one common denominator that this is not just what is tangible before us, that in our ordinary humanity, that we have certain possibilities of encounters. So there could be scientific proof, there could be scientific disproof, yet if you look deeper and deeper into the realm of it, this goes back to consciousness. There are very, very interesting debates and introspections into the consciousness. And so how is one attuned, and maybe one is not attuned? Maybe there is a deep-rooted aversion to seeing or having a desire to see such truth. in which someone else who is very, very liberated in their construct of their mind and consciousness, and we can extend into the spirit consciousness, into their belief system consciousness, in which they have seen, felt, heard, and smelled, perhaps, like I was saying, the garland of the roses upon the unicorn. So there is much of a varying degree, because if we were imparted with all of our previous memories of incarnation, or if we were imparted with, let's say, all of the knowledge of our universe, it could be overwhelming for the human body to contain, yet we have a yearning for knowledge and increase the knowledge within ourselves, in which we want to learn. So we want to maximize the percentage of our brain in which they may state that we don't use the full maximum capacity of our brain to integrate, correct? So there is much to debate within the human body, with the human mind, and with the construct of the consciousness, in which the forebrain is separated, and the foreconsciousness, the Christ consciousness, the cosmic consciousness, however one wants to ascribe it to, that when we dream, or people don't dream, or they do dream, but what is the dream? And then is it transcending the illusion of such just a dream? Is there a hallucination, or is there truly an experience in which one is having astral travel and they're experiencing a visitation from these beautiful ETs? And some may have a very different interpretation than when I declare beautiful, because that's what I've experienced is beautiful. Yet others may disagree, and that's totally fine. We're here to just have a beautiful discussion and to discuss the various possibilities that have occurred to humanity.
You spoke about the forebrain and separation from the body. Is there a little bit you can add for those who would like to understand this better?
Oh, yes, of course. Now, in the forebrain, and that's just a simple term that you can ascribe to the cerebral cortex, the hippocampus, various parts of the brain. So I'll just speak in layman's terms here, in which the consciousness, the imagination, in which you conjure, in which you can create music, you can paint something, you can write, you can literally say that a shark is wearing a tutu and she's a dancer at the Bolshoi. And that is a beautiful aspect of the imagination, in which we know that a shark is not going to just put on beautiful ballerina shoes and a beautiful tutu and a crown and go and be a principal dancer at the Bolshoi, right? That is a precept of the illusion in the imaginary state, and that can be a construct of the forebrain. Yet, when there is such a, let's say, transitory influence that is orbiting in the hemispheres, in which there is a grand awareness and notion in which I see an angel, I see a celestial being, I see the circumference so perfectly. And this being is 3.5 feet tall and has beautiful onyx eyes and just a shade of skin that is very different than my human self. And my goodness, and you know, they have these applications and they're just so advanced, and their mouth is shaped a certain way and whatnot. And then you have maybe, let's just give this in a simple example, 100 other people across the span of the globe, right? In which they are referring to the exact same recollection in a very similar vein, in which some people can see very clearly and they have their memory retains this experience. And how do they all collectively enter into one very congruent, similar construct of thought? It is not just that 100 various people are imagining a shark with point shoes and a tutu and a tiara dancing at the Bolshoi. That's one individual's imagination. Yet when you have the elements of the proof upon the visual, and applying with the cognitive and the regions of the mind that are separate from what the body is saying, that, oh, that is, let's run or let's freeze or let's paralyze ourselves because we know that something is happening. So we disassociate from the brain, the body might disassociate. And so that is a coping mechanism at times that I can explain. That's just one small example, is a coping mechanism in which something in the mind that was not attuned in it has a predisposition to the attunement of seeing such an oracle of truth beheld in front of their very eyes, in which they're actually seeing something very real, just as seeing a rose and seeing the sky and seeing the clouds and seeing the sun and the moon. And it's in the senses, as if, do I freeze? Do I run? Do I flee? Or do I just relax? And so the consciousness part in the forebrain, that part that recognizes that there's no such issue that has arisen to run or flee, and it basically calms the body down. So that's one instance that I can respond with.
Wow, there is so much that we don't know that happens in our body, outside our body. And that's why we came up with the show Beyond Earth, because we want a platform for people who have had experiences to come together and share, listen, hear, debate, not debate, but discuss, and let us know, give us information. That's great. And Ray, you once mentioned to me something about a diamond kite that you saw. I mean, yes. It's so beautiful, you know. I know that you said it's not a huge, huge topic, but it is something, and we're sure that there have been many sightings and many people who have seen even more, and we would like to hear from you. The number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Feel free to call in and share. But Ray, what was this diamond kite?
Well, I'll explain. It's is a very minute experience, yet I find it so interesting at the same time, because to me, it indifferent to the skeptic, correct? And when there's a sense that arises within myself that I should go outside, and I live in a very remote area, and it's very beautiful at night. I can see all the stars, and I do commune with nature morning, day, and night. It's one of my favorite pastimes, as I love and relish in all things that are of nature and of the universe. So I love to observe. And so when I hear the call that is imparted upon me from what I ascribe to as God, the creator, yet everyone else may have a different classification for their own belief system, yet when I was imparted with this divine intelligence that, you know, you should go outside at this exact precise moment because there's something really magical for you to see. I literally heard that. And that is not uncommon for me, of course, to hear such impartations. Yet I went outside and I responded as I was able in that moment to respond to spirit, to the celestial kingdom. And I went outside and I descended down my driveway and I looked. Something said, just look up in the sky. And I looked up in the sky. And at the time, I said to myself, oh my dear. And that looked like a diamond floating, a string of diamonds floating in the sky. So in my natural state, the first classification I could come up with to describe it was a diamond kite. And I said, my goodness, that is so beautiful. That is that of this earth? That has to be of this earth. That has to be. That is not just, you know, the beautiful stars. There's nothing in the velocity that is moving out of my perimeter spatial awareness, correct? And then I ascended up the driveway and I went in and I had to just look it up. And And I saw it. I watched it just enough as it disappeared into the horizon of the very, very late night sky. And when I looked instantaneously, I saw that it was Elon Musk, who is a mastermind, of course, Elon Musk's Starlink satellite system. And I said, wow, how amazing is that? That, you know, I got to see that. I was told by spirit, by God, by the celestial kingdom, you know, the otherworldly divine, please go take a look out, walk outside of this precise exact moment in which I'm so familiar with the above of my, the vicinity over where I reside in my home. And it was just such a sight to behold. And so it, the incident also occurred about a year and a half later or so. And I literally was upstairs and I had the window open and I heard a very, very interesting series of sounds in which I felt as if a spaceship was outside. And I said to myself, and I looked and I did not see a spaceship, but I heard the sounds that in my computation of my assessment personally of the familiarity of sounds in which my mind has compartmentalized and the openness to new sounds in which I have yet to hear in my lifetime, in which this happens to all of us. There are sounds that are familiar, sounds that are brand new, sounds we've never heard before. And it was in between, not so much the grand reverberation of the sound, yet it was so much to where my senses said, there's something very beautiful outside. You should go look. So I ran downstairs. I went outside and then I looked and there it was. There it was, the, I'll just call it this, the diamond kite again, the trail of diamonds. And there it was. And I said, oh my goodness, that's the Starlink satellite again. And I must have been, because it does, apparently, it does kind of orbit pretty low to the Earth's surface. It's not so high up. And that's why we can all visually see it across the world and other people have observed it. So it's not an anomaly per se. Yet the fact that I was told by the celestial beings to partake in observing the combination, the divine interception of science, the mastermind of invention that is connected with, I'll just say this, that there are so many inventions that exist today that are imparted upon such masterminds as I would love to declare that I believe, and I believe you believe, that Elon Musk is essentially a mastermind in our modern day. And one could say that, well, someone is just very intelligent and they just are very creative and highly inventive and they've studied X, Y, and Z. But then I say, but then where's the muse? What was the inspiration to create in that predisposition to high vibrational intelligence, to that genius mindset? What else is implemented and applied into that attitudinal construct, the scope, the lens in which one can be born extremely intelligent and one could be born to ascribe to become very intelligent? And, you know, anyone can be intelligent. They just have to apply themselves, right? But there are some people that are, like you were mentioning earlier, attuned, more so attuned to certain elementals and vibrations of the universe, known and the unknown, correct? So the truth that is behind what has been disembodied in another dimension, correct, in which we have this electric phenomena, the inventive phenomena, and I believe that Elon Musk is literally in that mastermind of where he's channeled in to the beautiful ancient civilizations, or I believe that. I mean, anyone else can have their belief, but that's what I am just describing at the moment to give an example because of what you mentioned about the diamond kite. Yet the innovation, we could go to Nikola Tesla and Elon Musk and Niagara Falls and just put different things randomly together. And all of the technologies that have been suppressed and hidden and kept from us, and we, that's another topic for another time. Yet, you know, when you look at Elon Musk and the visionary for the future, the vision for the future, And it's just so profound, regardless of what one may think of Twitter or whatnot. That's not what this show is about. The show is about the high visionary, the elation of the mind, and the application of beyond this world, otherworldly introspection, and calling in, invoking that beautiful, I would say, timelines in the innovation process, in which some people think of amazing. They have the call upon them to invent something that is just beyond comprehension. And some people have it as well, and they're able to take it to market, correct? So I just have to say that it was just this divine correlation of spirit with science, yet when you combine the two together, what is the overrule of that? What is the implementation of that? And when, you know, in deference to the skeptic or to the, you know, the susceptibility to bias or what's subjective, what's objective, and, you know, just removing all the notions and just looking at just putting some pieces together, regardless of intentionality or, you know, whatever's thought provoking, just looking at two and two together. I am speaking the truth, and this is a very minute experience for myself, yet it's profound enough in the senses of merging the divine and the tangible together. And then it is something that everyone else has seen. And, you know, this is, you know, everyone talks about Elon Musk and Starlink and many other amazing feats of his, yet just to be told, go outside on two different occasions that are very, that were, had much time between them, over 12 months in between each occurrence. And that it was not just solely individual to myself, in which, but the fact that I heard something, and that I'm not sure if other people have heard, when it, if they were in the proximity and vicinity of the Starlink going over them. And that led me to believe that, my goodness, there may be some extra additional components that are in a response system aligned with the celestial universe, with the cosmic order. And unless it's, you know, fashioned into the invention to have certain sounds, which completely normal, right? You know, we hear sounds of various elements and vibrations, correct? Yet the fact that I was told to go outside on both occasions, I found that to be much of curiosity.
So, Ray, if somebody like Elon Musk or people on Earth here are able to put together satellites like this and send it into space, whether near or far, then one can easily imagine that there could be other beings out there that can do the same. I mean, why not? I mean, if we can, why can't they?
Correct.
And then there was this, I was reading about this billionaire, Dennis Tito. He had a private ride to the International Space Station aboard a Russian rocket. And he is planning another journey now with his wife, and they're going back into space. So there are people who have this desire for space, just like some people have a desire to go to a bar and drink, right?
Right, yes.
There are people who want to do something, or bungee jumping or something like that.
Yes.
There are people who want to go into space, and they must have some element in them that resonates with some kind of space vibration. And Ray, I was just thinking of something right now, and I'm just going to put it out there. And for those who think this is weird, you know, go ahead and think it's okay. But Ray, I remember when I was very small, I don't know, 2 years old, 3 years old, I'm not sure exactly, maybe maximum four. I have had, and I call it a dream, of course, because I don't remember anything else outside of it. I remember very small, 2, 3, 4 years old. I've seen spaceships and have gone into space, or I have observed them from a standing point on Earth. And I've seen a lot of activity out there, many, many, many things happening. Definitely not aeroplanes, but really big spaceships and stuff like that. And at this small age of 2 or 3 or 4, I know I was not in tune with news. I was not listening to anything, reading anything. At max, could, you know, nursery rhyme or two. So what would you say to somebody like me who, and I remember I was very tiny at that point, very tiny. I've got memories since when I was 1, 1.5, and of things that I've actually done. And I remember this, and I've seen it a few times, not just once. It was like I went to into another world, and I was always on Earth and watching things in the sky. Of course, I don't remember actually seeing it at a later stage in life. These dreams did not come back, or these thoughts did not come back. Ray, what would you say? Because honestly, at 2 or 3 or 4, I have not learned anything about UFOs. I knew nothing. And this is in India. So just imagine a kid back then who was not exposed to news about all this. What would you say to this? It's kind of weird and vague, but I'm putting it out there.
No, thank you. I personally don't consider it to be weird or vague at all. In fact, it makes much sense to me, especially providing the time frame of your life, your childhood, etc. Because now there are very many adults that have a late onset of experience in which the portal of their mind is very open, or it is, let's say, the invitation to be open. So I'm not, you know, counting and discrediting anyone who did not experience these things as a child. But what I'm going to refer to is a phenomenon that is literally reduced to the raw biological response. Okay. So with children, from infants to a certain time frame, we can classify it as the formative years, in which, let's just discuss children for the moment. So when there are such new opportunities to develop new memories, to develop a new experience, to see a butterfly for the first time, to see a kitty cat for the first time, a puppy for the first time. Yet, when there is an experience in someone that is very young, that has not been impressed upon, that averse to having any impressionable deciding factors in which they were shown, like you were saying, that you did not have any news presented to you of such a phenomena, that it was a natural, I would consider it a raw biological and cognitive response in which you experienced this because you were liberated. You still are, yet I'm referring to the, you know, the 1.5, 2, 3, 4 year old version of Sugandhi, okay, back in that timeline of her present existence up until now and back and forth. And so in that timeline of your existence during those ages in which you saw such magnificence, whether it was in the dream state that is essentially what is real in the dream, what is not real in the dream, yet when it is so tangible when you are in that dream state, it is not just a hypnopompic hallucination, the in-between, the waking and the sleeping, and could it really be a memory of consciousness from previous incarnation? Did you leave your body? Did you literally experience this? And that would be much for someone to debate upon. Yet what I would say is that because you have had the liberation, being not instructed and being told and not told that, oh, that doesn't exist. Oh, that's not real. That's just a figment of your imagination. Where on the divine plane would you have been able to have a construct to impart upon your consciousness that such existence does occur? And the application of your divine consciousness, your higher consciousness, the higher realms in which the impartation of you to be able to see such is a definite occurrence with children, in which children do see things. Children are not, when they're told that they can think freely and visualize freely, they do have a very big habit of knowing maybe perhaps who they were in a previous life. Think of the Dalai Lama, the reincarnation, in which they choose children by a certain age, but not past a certain age. There has to be within a time frame between 0 to perhaps 8 years old. Okay, I'm just giving a reference there, in which the child will choose specific sacred objects, and therefore that is the reincarnation. So let's just apply that principle into the knowledge, the inherent true knowledge of the self in the formative years in which you experienced that very real, tangible, in my perception, in which that was a true reality, that wasn't an illusion. Yet to an adult who has not experienced it or is averse to the notion of that possibility may state and declare that the indifferent skeptic, correct, could say, oh, that's just a child having, you know, they had too much sugar before bed, or they were having a nightmare, right? Or they were having, you know, an exploratory experience. Go ahead.
No, could be, right? But I just wanted to impress here that this is India and no computers.
Right.
No computers at home, no iPhones, no iPads, no, I was not exposed to all of this until, I would say, teens, maybe. And TV was at a minimum. TV was at the minimum. I haven't watched anything with my eyes. And I didn't know such things existed. So even if it was even if it was imagination, I would have had to have some data, some information of things like UFOs or spaceships existing. I have no such data with which my mind could create a dream. So there is no data literally in my mind, but I saw these things, but it stopped. It stopped after a bit. I haven't seen that as I was growing up. It was then and there. And no technology. Like, nowadays, children are exposed to iPads and iPhones, internet. There was no such thing. We were pretty much in a very family atmosphere. This is in India, remember. And no data with which my mind could knit together a vision. I just wanted to throw that in.
Precisely. And that's why I'm glad that you reminded everyone of that, because that's exactly why I was referring to that you were immune to any susceptibility to bias, that there is no influence, that you did not have any kind of preconceived notion in the world of the false imprint into your young mind, in which this is something that can occur with young children, in which they're truly experiencing something because they have not been told or told that that's wrong, or you had too much sugar, that's why you had that, or you wanted milk, you know you wanted your baby bottle, right? In which that's great, always give your baby bottle, right? But at the same time, that is because it was raw. It was a raw biological and a raw cognitive and a raw spiritual response. And I have much to express about the spaceship and so forth in which you saw, but I wanted to, you know, cover the part that your experience and my perception was extremely real and extremely tangible. And then you know, when you again further confirmed once more that there is truly no interceptability of any preconceived notion, nothing that was inorganically imparted into your mind and the pretenses of your mind. And so therefore, by not having, let's say, a comic book or a television or anything, or an iPad in this day that would show, you know, a cartoon or a character or even something about this topic in general, correct? So you were truly experiencing a very raw spiritual, raw cosmic, raw cognitive, and raw biological response to this inherent awareness of the cosmic order, and which you were given, I would consider it a blessing and a gift from the cosmic divine, in which you're being shown what truly is out there. And no one, no adult at the time, no other human could take that away from your memory system, from your experience system, from what's imparted upon you that is solely your information, in which you applied the data in which you observed in those moments, as opposed to the data from someone else that would just, you know, maybe just ascribe it to, oh, you know, she was just a bit hyper before bedtime. Of course, she just dreamt about a spaceship at 1.5 years old, and that it was occurring various, you know, intermittently from 1.5, 1 years old all the way to 4 or 8 or whatnot, or in your teen years. So we can discredit any notion of that skeptic.
Ray, so when people like Elon Musk, I hope the people out there know that they're planning a Mars settlement, settling on Mars. When somebody like this conceptualizes and then starts to work on it, and yes, they're working on it, they've gathered people who have agreed to go to Mars and settle there. And of course, you know, once you go to Mars, they don't really think of coming back. They're creating a Mars settlement. To even imagine, to even conceptualize such a happening, and then working towards it and collecting people who are physically, mentally, and in every way educationally qualified to help towards the settlement on Mars. So somebody like Elon Musk must have something in him that is yearning to do this. Something in him that says, you know what, it's possible. Why is it? Is it because he's a starseed and people were thinking of going into space? It's not just a scientific and technical thing that's happening here. Could there be people who are from space and then they feel called to do this?
Absolutely. And I definitely concur with you, because it does appear to me that Elon Musk has a personality and subpersonality of some being that has transcended and has had perhaps either an impartation of this extraordinary cosmic divine intelligence, and also applied with the divine human intelligence. And one could say you can interchange those, and they can be interexchanged. Yet we can look into the notion that Arcturian, the Arcturians, and we can discuss this at length again in another show, of course, because there's so much to discuss. So I'll leave it with this, that in the Arcturians being like the master builders, the master engineers, and we could look at Lemurians, Sirians, all sorts of planetary beings, the star seeds, in which various types, various archetypes can imbue and instill upon us on Earth that exploratory mindset and the grand voyage of this Earth and beyond. And so those that seem to have a predisposition to exploration beyond just this and I say just, I don't mean to minimize Earth, but the earthly plane, and then when you go into the outer planes and transcending and beyond, there is just a plethora. It is the Pandora's box, so to speak, of the unknown. And that intrigue to discover more of the unknown, well, perhaps psychologically, spiritually, one could also interject that perhaps that there is an awareness, therefore it is not the unknown, yet there may be a deep inherent awareness within certain individuals that feel this confidence and this call, and they're invoked upon, and they have been imparted upon with such this grand inner spectrum awareness into their very soul that is deeply rooted within their true, the helm of their soul, the helm of their frequencies and their faculties in which they implement into the world. And therefore they have an awareness that, you know, I think that I would love to explore and go above and beyond space and traverse into the ecosystem of Mars. And if one may say, well, how Mars cannot inhabit humans, well, that is much for debate, of course, and there's people who can speak of and not speak of, but I leave that to the masterminds. And if Elon Musk has a predetermination to explore, and the gentleman and his wife that you mentioned earlier, then may the force be with them. And it's a brave, brave venture. And there is, perhaps, I actually have to say that I believe that there is this inherent awareness that there is much to be made of what is out there.
So, Ray, this is amazing that there are people who are having all of these experiences, and we want you to share. We want you to share here. We want you to help give us information so that you, if you have had any experience or you would like to know more, you know, feel free to share with other people. And this is a great platform for you to share. We are so happy to have the show because there are people being called to know and to be aware of all of these things happening. And Ray, just to end the show is here today, right? We had this show and we know we were going to come on and talk about it. A few hours before, an alien movie pops up on TV. And they rarely show alien movies on this particular channel. But then an alien movie popped up, you know, spaceships and the whole thing. So there is a certain energy that aligns things together. There's a certain energy that carries this scent of spaceships and aliens and all of these beyond Earth happenings. Because how synchronized is that? That, oh, okay, so Gandhi, here you're being taken from your daily activities, my work, you know, all of this stuff, household stuff, family. And then I'm shown a spaceship alien movie. And then a few hours later, I have the show. So Ray, don't you think it's some kind of synchronized patterns, and that the more we go into it, the more we see it, the more it becomes truth and reality? So for those out there listening, the more you get into this, the more it becomes real. And the more you can see, the more you can know. What do you think, Ray? Any parting words before we end the show today?
I absolutely agree. And this divine synchronicity, the cosmic order, and it's an extraordinary revelation of the deep mysteries and to behold the mystical keys to unseen worlds.
Okay, so we're at the end of the show and we want to wish you a happy 2 weeks until we meet again Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And saying bye to you. Thank you, Ray, for being on the show.
Thank you.